Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love, and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of a living water. Sounds of a living
Shalom, shalom, everyone. Grace and peace in Jesus. Happy Sabbath. It is another glorious Sabbath before the Lord our God. We want to thank everyone that is listening this Sabbath morning and wherever you are in the world. We want to thank you as well. We want to make some honorable mentions to our brothers and sisters around the planet. Those of you that are listening in Russia, Estonia, Latvia, Romania, Greece, Azerbaijan, Iran, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Kenya, Philippines, Indonesia, New Zealand, Nigeria, Brazil, Chile, and Canada, and of course, the brothers and sisters in the States. All praises to the Most High God. Thank you again for listening and making yourself recognized at the Sounds of Living Waters. We do appreciate your time, and we do appreciate your patronage. Today we are dealing with Heaven Part 2. Heaven Part 2. What do you mean, Heaven Part 2? Well, last week we dealt with heaven, and we dealt with the law of it and what it pertains to the laws of it and those things that belong to God. This week, we want to deal with a little bit more detail of those things that belong to heaven. You see, and in the things that belong to God, believe me, brothers and sisters, these researches that we are in right now are anything but rich and its content. We want to thank the God of Israel, our Father in heaven, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for these beautiful things that belong to Him. So, with that being said, I want to say Shabbat Shalom to our brother Keith Hutchison. Shabbat Shalom, my brother.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Grace and peace. Hey, man, grace and peace. I was going to say you do sound a little far away, but I hear you.
Yeah, I'm right here. All right.
Okay. Yes. Okay, well, that's a blessing, bro, because initially you sound really far away. So, but it's good to hear that you right there, and I can hear you loud and clear.
Amen, well, brother.
Amen. Just to get a microphone check, how does this microphone sound?
You sound loud and clear, brother.
Praise be the Lord. That's exactly what we need to know. All right, well, then there it is. Well, if you can open us up with a scripture, and we get prayed in, we get started with this precept.
All right. All right. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the king of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. I have read Psalms verses 149, verses 1 through 9. May the Lord add a blessing into the reading and teaching of his word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. In Jesus' name we pray, Heavenly Father, have mercy on our sins and allow us into your kingdom. And Father, have mercy and send forth both physical and spiritual gifts upon us. Father, have mercy on our teachers, our elders, and our brethren in their family. Father, have mercy on them that don't know you, God, for delight and blessing is because they see your light and countenance upon us, Father. Have mercy on them and their families as well. And Father, have mercy on children, our children's children and their families. And Father, have mercy and give us a mind to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear, and a mouth to speak your word, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and the faith to perform. And Father, have mercy on them that hear it, and pour your Holy Spirit upon them as well, and give them too a mind to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear, and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and the faith to perform it. In Jesus' name we pray, for your mercies endure forever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, brothers and sisters. Like I said, we are in the middle of the creation precept. Actually, you know, we're near the middle. We are the first day. We're actually being in the middle would put us about the Sabbath day because we got to go to the Passover. You know, our brother Jacob Eli did an excellent, excellent precept on that. You can look him up at the Bible Christian with God on YouTube. And I'll share the link on my website, on my Facebook account, and also on my Twitter, that this thing was absolutely fabulous. It was great. So we right now are dealing with the creation, but we like to deal with it, you know, in segments, you know, because it's a lot to cover, you know, in the creation series. What do you mean? Well, we got a lot of elements here. One, you got in the beginning, you know, what's the beginning? You know, what is the beginning? When did it begin to begin? That's another thing. Then you got, because there was a beginning, but what was before the beginning, right?
Right.
Then there's God, right? You got him. You got the Father and the Son there. You know, I know some of us been taught that there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. But we here at the Sound of the Living Waters, we believe that what the scriptures testify of, we haven't read that through Genesis to Revelation, that there is a God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, or a Holy Trinity, or anything like that. God said, I'll give my glory to none. So, but we do have his angels and those that he called ministering spirits, a flame of fire, that are sent to those that are heirs on salvation, you know, and they give messages, like, you know, for instance, the things that John wrote about, you know, and the things that Peter wrote about, and Daniel, right? He actually saw his brother. You know, they actually spoke and talked with them. And John saw his, too. He fell down and tried to even worship him. And he was like, hey, whoa, see that you don't do that. That belonged to God. Don't do that to me, you know. So he had to stop him in his tracks because he was about to be ready to do obeisance to him. And he forbade him. So John saw his. So these things belong to God. We're not dealing with angels yet because angels aren't in the creation yet. Heaven is still a law, things that belong to it. What do you mean? Well, we read that man can't ascend into heaven, nor can see it. Well, we read that last week. If you want to, you can go and look at that precept, listen to that precept. It's on our podcast, of course. And you will see that the Father is very adamant that man is not, according to the law, is to inhabit heaven. And we're going to cover a little bit of that because we do know that there are some of us that has been taught these things, and we like to reiterate, you know, but we're not going to go into detail with that because we do have to continue on. Also, we also covered what heaven is and things pertaining to that, that it's not, or that it's another element on the other side of this barrier. We're going to touch a little bit on that. And hopefully we can get into the elements of heaven themselves, right? So with that being said, let's start this in Genesis chapter 1 and read to the 5. Genesis chapter 1 and 5. When you receive it, read.
Genesis 1 and 1 reads, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and the darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. There was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day.
Now, we got a lot going on here. You got in the beginning, you got God, you got heaven and earth. You got form and void, you got darkness, you got water. You got a face here, you got the Spirit of God. You got light, you got darkness being separated. And then you got the first day. Well, that's a whole lot going on there. So this is the thing. We're going to do this, you know, if we can. In chronological order, God willing, we're going to do this in chronological order so that we can actually get through this crucial. So let's start this back at Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. Genesis 1 and 1. And when you receive it, read.
Genesis 1 and 1 reads, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep.
That's good. So we see in the beginning, God created heaven. Now, heaven was created before the earth. That's the first thing we got to realize. Heaven was created before the sun and the moon. We got to realize that. So if heaven was created before the earth, where the angels at here? Well, heaven was created before them. We're going to find that out. So this is that thing. So heaven. What is this? Okay, let's first find out where it is, right? Let's go into, skip down to Genesis chapter 1 and 8. Genesis,
okay.
Genesis chapter, wait a minute, this Genesis chapter 1 and 6. Genesis 1 and 6, and when you receive it, read.
Genesis 1 and 6 reads, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. So, and God called the firmament heaven, in the evening, in the morning, or the second day.
Okay, now there it is. So we got now, we got a firmament in the midst of the waters, right? To divide the waters from the water, right? So this is that thing. So we got this water barrier that's above the cosmos, and then we got this water that's on the earth. So 1/100th of a second is the firmament off the planet, right? And between this 1/100th of a second is the end of all things that we know and can't see. That is the cosmos, right? So let's read that the cosmos was brought into place. Let's pick it up at Genesis chapter 1 and verse 14.
Genesis 1 and 14 reads, "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for light in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day."
Now we see that the sun and the moon was put inside of the firmament, and the stars also, right? So, and he said the greater light was to give light upon it. The greater light and the lesser light, which would be the sun and the moon, as we call it this day, is to give light upon the earth, nothing else. This is why you can't, the sunlight, you know, doesn't blow up the whole cosmos that as we know it. You know, you would think that when you look at through your telescope and you look at the sun, that dark space that's around the sun would be lit up, but that's not the law. The law says the sun is to give light upon the earth. And then you would think that, you know, it'll light up like everything. Why? Because, well, that's what happened with a light bulb. A light bulb do that. A light bulb light everything that's in the heavens. I mean, in our room, or a candle, for instance, would do the exact same thing. So you have that too. You see, so you got those things going on, but that's not the case with the sun. The sun is only to give light upon the earth. Also, you have the sun only giving light upon the earth, not the bottom of the ocean, right? So the sun doesn't have a law that it can penetrate water. Now, let's reiterate that in the second day, there was a water barrier that's above the firmament, which is where the sun and the moon and the stars at. When the stars that we know today is planets or things that belong to the cosmos, right? So this is that thing. And we also know that when God put those things there, that the sun don't give light to those things, but give us a reflection of those things that's out there, like the sun, the moon, and the stars. And when you look at the stars, there are other planets, other things that's out there that he created, right? And then, you know, some of us want to say this is all happened through a Big Bang. Well, Big Bangs don't have rotation. You know, you can't create a rotation that's exact. You know, an accident isn't an exact. You know, it's an accident. So a Big Bang or anything like that would be an accident. Well, the rotation of the Earth, the rotation of Venus, I should say, the rotation of Mars and the rotation of, you know, all the planets, even Pluto around the sun is on a time window that's exact. And then you got rotations of moons around the planet that's actually created within a solar system that we have. Where did this come from? Where did the rotation come from? Gravity. Gravity. What do you mean? gravity is the only thing that can create a rotation such as that. Well, how do you get to that point? Well, one thing for sure, I don't know if any of us ever been to a carnival, and there was a thing called the fast wheel. There was a thing called this thing that would go fast in circles, right? And then the floor would drop, and all of us would be pinned against the wall. Well, and it was this carnival that we know in Chicago that actually had this thing. We call it the fast wheel. I don't know what it's called today in certain carnivals or amusement parks, but when I was a child, it was called a fast wheel. And when it got started, always spin out earth. And I mean, that thing would spin around, and next thing you know, the floor would drop. Right? Now, the gravitational pull wasn't toward the floor, but toward the wall. Right? We were all up against the wall as long as this thing was spinning. And we were in it, yet we couldn't even tell how fast we were spinning, even though we can feel a rotation. You see, and some of us, you know, they believe the earth is flat, don't believe that the earth is in a rotation and things like that, and say, well, if the earth is in rotation, how come, you know, we're not all flying off and so forth? Well, they go, your answer right there, if you ever experienced a fast wheel, you know, or that amusement machine, right? So now, I ask this question often a lot with those that consider themselves biblical scholars or those that may not be. Some that they may be Egyptologists or someone that is an atheist, for instance, or agnostic. My question is that where did gravity come from? Is it before heaven or is it after heaven? Well, that's something that's going to come up through this precept as well. So now we got this gravitational pull that's around the sun, and also there's a vortex going on as well, right? So not only is the whole solar system is rotating around the sun, but it's also moving within the cosmos. You see, this is that thing. And then he said this. Now watch this. He said, and let them be for light under the sun to give light upon the earth, and it was so. Well, you got these stars up there to give light upon the earth. It took them billions of years to get the light itself, right? It takes the sun like 24 hours to get here, right? Our nearest star that, you know, that actually we can call a star other than the sun is actually 7,000 light years from here. So even if we built a ship to try to get to that nearest star, not the end of our solar system, not the end of our universe, and you can forget about the cosmos, because the cosmos testify that those lights are billions of years old. So they're billions of light years away. So there's no way in that a machine that a man create that has created this day that can make it. It's impossible. So right now we have digital machines such as television and computers and laptops and stuff like that that give us an idea that if man was to travel through space, they would have to go into a form of hibernation. They would have to go through a form of hibernation just to make it survive the time window that it would take to get to another part of our solar system. So this is how vast the cosmos is. This is how vast the universe is. This is how, you know, this is the thing that he called heaven, that he put the sun, the moon, the stars, and all them beautiful things that we know as the planet. That's what they are. You see, and that's where they are right now. And none of us can make it there. We're still trying to get to the moon or Mars or things like that. We can forget about, you know, how many years did it take us to get to Jupiter? You know, what type of ship you think is going to sustain us with water and life and food to travel billions of lives. We don't even have that kind of lifetime in our beings. The average lifetime of a man or a woman is anywhere from 70 years to anything to 100, right? If you, that's at your best bet. Well, that's a long way from a billion. 70 going to a billion goes a whole lot of time. So that's a long way from a billion light years from here. You see, this is that thing. So no, this conversation that we're having right now definitely isn't for us. So what do you mean, heaven? What is that to us? What is heaven to us? Skip down to Genesis chapter 2 and Genesis chapter 2 and verse 1. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 1. When you receive
Genesis,
it, read.
Genesis 2 and 1 reads, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day."
Hold on. So he says, so thus the heavens, now we got a plural here, right? We got a plural. Heaven is not a singular. Heavens is plural. So the next thing we have to address is, well, how many heavens? You see, that's the next question. That would be something that would be on my mind. You know, that's something that we would have to address. You know, what do you mean? How many heavens is it? You know, because that's there. We can't act like it isn't. You know, we can't act like, you know, it's not there. We can't pretend or wish that away. It doesn't, you know, we can't pretend that this thing doesn't exist. So if you got plurals there, that lets me know that there's more than one heaven. So one, let's look at the first heaven. Let's go into Matthew's chapter 24. Matthew's 24. And we're going to pick up the first heaven. All right? So the first heaven is this. Matthew's 24. And let's pick it up at verse 30. Matthew's 24 and 30.
Matthew's 24 and 30 reads, "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory."
So this is talking about the coming of God, right? So this is that
right
thing. So this is here comes Jesus from heaven, coming in the clouds of heaven, right? Revelation chapter 6 and 12 will tell you that the heavens roll back as a scroll, and that there is going to be a new heaven and a new earth. It's going to be a new constellation in the cosmos as we know it. It's going to be a new constellation there. And that's nothing new, because the constellation that we're looking at now has changed from the days that we've been on a planet, from the days of the prehistoric ages. That's a different constellation. You see, so that constellation no longer exists. The constellation that we exist in up under now, well, that constellation exists. Why? Because the vortex or the sun and the moon that we are now living in is moving throughout the cosmos. That's why you see a different constellation a million years ago from today. Because this Milky Way, our address, which is the Milky Way, which is in our universe, is moving. This is that thing. Continue.
Verse 31. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other.
Stop. So there it is. So now he's going to collect his elect. Well, the elect is in heaven, right? Well, let's confirm that. Go into John chapter 4, right? John chapter 4. John chapter 3, forgive me, John chapter 3, and let's pick it up at verse 13. John chapter 3 and 13, so when you receive the reading.
John 3 and 13 reads, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven.
See, so now we know that this isn't talking about he's gathering from where he's at. This is another conversation that he's talking about. So where is this conversation coming from? Let's go into 2 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In verse 13.
First Thessalonians 4 and 13 reads, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore,
okay, so
comfort
now we
one
see
another.
Here, so now we see here, that we are that those of us that remain. That's why I said, gather my elect from the four winds of heaven, north, south, east, and west. Once again, if the earth is flat, then there's no south. I mean, that's just the way it is. But we're not dealing with the earth right now. We're dealing with heaven, right? So, let's go into Revelation chapter 11, right? Because we're trying to gather these elect. So where he gathered them from. So right now, we know that the firmament is heaven. He called that heaven. And then we know that there's a third heaven. That's what Jesus said. So where's the first heaven? Well, let's look at this in Revelation chapter 11. And these are the two olive branches. And they're going to be, and so the whole earth is going to see this take place. So we're going to read this. We're going to let the scriptures tell us exactly what's going to happen. But I'm not here to deal with the what's going on with the olive branches or the two brethren that's going to stand before God. We're going here to find out where they're gathered from, right? So I need you to read from Revelation chapter, that's Revelation chapter 11 and verse 7 down to verse 12.
Revelations 11 and 7 reads, And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they other people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them.
So now we see that the heavens themselves, you saw God, at, like we read in Matthew chapter 24, he said with the voice of an archangel, again at Thessalonians, he said with the trump of God. And then we just got to reading here that they saw their dead bodies killed and killed and laid in the streets for 3 days and a half. 3 days, where in heaven? No, on the earth. And then we just got through reading that they that dwell on the earth is going to rejoice. Well, how is this possible? How is the entire planet going to rejoice over them being dead? How would they even know? How would we all know that this is even taking place? Well, the 21st century has presented these things called computers, notebooks, tablets, cell phones. So with these things, we got windows around the world that we can watch things now in real time. So it won't be a mystery to the entire planet that this is going to take place, seeing that God has said that the whole earth is going to rejoice over that. Because that would have been impossible at the days of John and his revelation, because, well, how would the whole earth rejoice over them if the whole planet is just in Jerusalem, right? Because that's where our Lord and Savior was crucified. So right now we have in this 21st century instruments that can project us throughout the entire earth. And even we got instruments that can use the satellites to give us, you know, articulations of the planets in their positions now. You see, but these are, like I said, cell phones, notebooks, tablets, and computers, laptops, things of this nature. So this is what would take place. So now we see the whole planet, see them being going up to heaven. Well, that lets me know, because they're the elect. They're the very elect. The very elect, right?
Right.
Skip down to verse 15.
Verse 15 reads, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever.
See, that's the thing we just got to read in Matthew 24, that the seventh angel sounded, and then we read in Thessalonians, at the last trump. There's only going to be seven trumpets mentioned here if you go and read Revelation chapter 8, which is what we're not going to read today because we've got to get to other things. But we see here that this is going to take place at the seventh trump, that the dead in Christ is going to be rose first. Now we see the very elect is being gathered from the four winds of heaven. Once again, north, south, east, or west. The first heaven is the earth. The second heaven is 1/100th of a second from the earth, is where your birds and your flying insects and all those things exist in. And then the third heaven, and also your stars and the sun and the moon and the cosmos. And then the third heaven is red. That's where Jesus and the Father dwell. That's why he said, have been plural, right? So now we got to look at this heaven that he created, right? Heavens that he created. Let's go to Psalms 104. Give me. I know that's a bad habit when you say, well, Psalms 104, but it's not 104. It's actually Psalms 04. So when you receive it, read.
Psalms 104:1 reads, the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God, thou art very great, thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who covereth thyself with light as with a garment, who stretcheth out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of his chambers.
Right. So the heavens is like a curtain that he covered himself with, that man can't see heaven. Man can't see where he dwells. He called it a curtain, right? So Solomon mentioned it. Go in the Song of Solomon, chapter 1, and verse 5. Psalms chapter 1 and verse 5.
Okay, Song of Solomon, verse 1 and 5 reads, I am black, but comely. O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon.
So he's telling you now that the tents and the curtains of Solomon is black. So right now, the curtains that we're looking at is those things that's between each planet, which what we know today is that darkness that was in the beginning before there was a sun and a moon and the stars. That's it. Then those things was put inside of that. That's why the sun and the moon and the stars can't light that up, because they're black. You ever notice when you went to a play that they had curtains, black curtains, but you would see the whole entire stage, but you couldn't see the curtain. Same thing, you see. But we understand that the sun was created to give light upon the planet Earth, not anything else, not even in the ocean. The further you go down in the water, guess what? The sun light diminish. So you can't use the sunlight to look in the bottom of the ocean. So we can't use the sunlight to look into heaven, because there's a water barrier there that's preventing, just like it's a water barrier on the earth that's preventing us to look at the bottom of the ocean with the sunlight, because the law is that the sun is supposed to give light upon the earth. That's the difference. That's the commandment. That's the law. So that's the things that belong to God. Those things, right? Okay.
Right.
So we see here, he said, He created the sun, the moon, and the star, but he also said he stretches out the heavens like a curtain, right? So when he stretched out the heavens like a curtain, that was that water barrier, and that was that black that was there. And so he put the sun and the moon and the stars there. This is before we were created. Some of us say, well, you know, the earth is 4.5 billion years old, because we got instruments that can date that far back, maybe even older, who knows. But I take that. Okay, 4.5 billion years, that's a whole lot of time, right? They say the sun was created 3-point-something billion years after the earth. That's kind of consistent. with the commandments. I'm not complaining with that. Makes sense to me, right? Okay, I take it. You know, I take that too. You see, that makes perfect sense to me. So, you know, if the earth is 4.5 billion years old and you got dinosaurs and things like that, people say, well, what happened to them? Well, the same thing he did with Noah's day. He drowned them. You know, they said it was an ice age. Well, that man's take ice and water. You know, so he did what he do. He drowned them. I mean, you know, and then, you know, and he knew that we, perfect and infinite wisdom, when he created us, that we were going to need things like heat, right? We're going to need things like heat. So they were created for what? Fossil fuel. That's what they're called. Fossil fuel. To do what? To keep us warm. To propel our machines, whether they be cars, planes, trains, automobiles, ships, you know, factories. The dinosaurs were created for that purpose, right? So yeah. Now we're not burning up all the trees on the earth because, of course, we will be burning every tree up on the earth because we would be looking for heat. I don't think we'd be here right now if there was no such thing as fossil fuel. In fact, they almost hunted the whales to extinction because they needed the oil of their body, you know. Now we call it omega-5 and things like that. We use it for our bodies, right? Where you getting this from? Think about it. So now they were using it to light their candles and the candles and the lanterns and things like that. So the Lord allowed man to discover fossil fuel so that they wouldn't hunt the whales to extinction. Exactly. So this is why the dinosaurs were created. They weren't created to roam the earth as we know it. They were created to supply the earth as we know it, to sustain the earth as we know it. This is that thing. You see? So let's look at this a little further. Let's go into let's go into Psalms chapter 19 and verse. Let's see if I want to. Yeah, pick it up at verse 1, right? Pick it up at verse 1 because it's going to testify Genesis chapter 1, right? So pick it up at verse 1. And watch what he said. I need y'all to pay really close attention to this. Genesis chapter 19 and verse 1, when you receive it, read. Okay.
Was it Psalms 19?
Yeah, Psalms 19, my bad. Yeah, Psalms 19.
Okay. Psalms 19 and 1 reads, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament show of his handiwork."
So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the heavens. And remember now, this is a pool. It declares the glory of God. And the firmament shows his handiwork. So we found out that the sun and the moon and the stars, or the planet or the cosmos as we know it, were placed inside of the firmament. I love the idea of the cosmos. I got my I got my book. You know what I'm saying? I got mine. I hope you got yours. But I got mine. And it talks about these things. It talks about the cosmos and the universe. And he was way ahead of his time. This guy was blowing up. The God of Israel gave this man really a lot of wisdom and these things that pertain to the cosmos. And no, this is not a bubble up there. And I just don't think that we have the capacity of creating something that's able to heat the bottom of the ocean. Stop it. Anyway, continue. So he said, the heavens declare the glory of God. Firmament shows his handiwork. So now this is what we're looking at, the firmament, right? So we see that the sun and the moon and the stars are in the firmament. Continue.
Verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard.
Stop. So we see here that the entire planet recognizes that there's a sun, a moon, and stars, and that they are there for seasons and times and years, right? So this is that
right.
thing. So once again, if the earth is flat, then we would just have one season. There wouldn't be a coming back around, you know, like, oh, guess what? It's winter again. That's a rotation. Exactly. This is that thing. So we see now that the whole planet can actually see the works of heaven all at the same time, whether it be evening for us and day for other parts of the world, or whether it's day for us and evening for the other parts of the world, the heaven or the firmament is declaring the work of God, because the heavens, as we know it, as we should say, the firmament is alive. That's why he said their speech is going throughout. That's why there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. So they have a speech unto themselves. Time have a speech. The elements have a speech. They all exist, and they all are very much alive. If you look at Saturn, you see that that's a moving firmament. That's alive. That's alive. That's life. You can say what you want to say. Saturn and Uranus is alive. That's life, right? And then he gave us Pluto for years. Man thought Pluto was a planet. It's not. We thought it was the ninth planet in our solar system. It is not. It is a floating ice cube. Well, where did you get that from? Water. Pluto is a floating ice cube? Yes, it is. Where did you get the ice from? Water. Why is it nine from the sun? Because it represents the end. It represents the end of water. It represents the end. What do you mean? Simple as that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. There's no such thing as 10 because it go back to 1. But if you add a 0, then I guess we could call it 10, right?
Right.
But it's still 1. It's no such thing as 0. I mean, it is a such thing as 0 because it's there. It's nothing. Right? The end of man
right.
is at 9. What do you mean? A woman is in her, when a woman is pregnant, how long does it take for her to have a child?
9 months.
9 months. That's a time window. That's a time window. You see, this is that thing. We have to pay very close attention to these things. Those things belong to God. That's why you have these things in our system. That's perfect science. That's math. Testifying. That's why I said there's no speech where their voice is not heard, because the heavens or the firmament is going to testify that there is a God, or else there is no absolute truth, right? Because God, we know God is an absolute truth. Well, if we were all created as a goof, then there's no such thing as absolute truth. But there is a such thing as absolute truth. That means that there is a creator. What do you mean? Because the absolute truth means that there is consciousness. 1 + 1 = 2. That's an absolute truth. That's consciousness, because 1 + 1 = 3 will be a lie. And consciousness will testify against that, because the truth will testify against the lie. That's consciousness. So yes, there is a God, and he created consciousness by giving us absolute truth. So, I mean, we can all view it in our minds, whatever, however we feel. You know, we can all approach God in our different ways if that's what you think. But I think I'll put him through this thing that he gave me, that's the King James Bible, because it's really consistent. It don't lead off into nonsense, you know. It's consistent. People say, well, man wrote the Bible. I don't think so, because there's too many intricates that man just is not conscious of when it comes to the scripture. I'm not going to give man this kind of power over knowledge when they're too busy trying to testify that there's no God. You see, the only problem is with this is that the reason why man is trying to prove that there's no God, because if you're going to say that there's no God, then there isn't a judgment, so we don't have to worry about the sins that we commit in this life, right? But if we say that there's a God, then there's a such thing as right and wrong, there's a judgment. Well, 1 + 1 = 2. To say that it's 3 brings judgment from any conscious individual. We are witness to ourselves. Anyway, verse 4 and continue.
Verse 4 reads, their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them have he set a tabernacle for the sun. Which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. He's going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing from the heat thereof.
Stop. So now we just found out that the heavens got heat, right? The heavens heated. Not only that, it says his going forth is from the end of heaven and his circuit onto the end of it. And there's nothing here from the heat thereof. So I want to look up this word right here, right? Circuit. All right? So circuit. Circuit is this. A close, usually circular line that goes around an object or area. So heaven is going around us. It's going in a circle. This is that gravitational pull that we were talking about from the beginning, that gravity is actually before heaven, because heaven is going in a circle. Are we listening? It says this, a closed, usually circular line that goes around an object or area. It says the region enclosed by a line, a path route to complete traversal without local change of directions requires returning to the starting point. That's it. That's a circle. But if the earth is flat, then there's a point of no return. Are we listening?
Right.
If the earth is flat, there is a point of no return. But he said the heavens is in a circuit. He said from the ends of heaven and the circuit onto the end thereof, just like from 12 o'clock afternoon to 12 o'clock midnight, that is a complete circuit. That's point A to point B, and it starts over. We're surrounded by it because there's a such thing as 360. Anyway, let's look at this a little further. It says, a closed path followed by the capable of being followed by an electric current, a configuration of electricity or electric magnetic connected component or devices. So when he created the circuit of heaven, he created what? Electricity. That's why we have electricity going through our body. That's why there's electricity in the water, in the earth. That's why it's electricity in the firmament. That's why it's electricity in some of the planets that we actually see. We can see that there's electricity out there. We can see lightning.
Amen.
And clouds and things like that on these planets that's in our cosmos. That's electricity. That came from the circuit or the beginning of gravity. But where did it come from, right? Let's go into Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. And pick it up in verse 8. I just want you to read this one verse, and then we're going to skip from verse 8. Read verse 8.
Isaiah 30 and 8. Now, go, write it before them in a table and note it in a book, that it may be for the times to come forever and ever.
Now, we see here, he said, now you write this in a book. We read it in a book right now, which is the Bible. And it says, and note it, he says, and write it in before a table and note it in a book that it may be for a time to come forever and ever, right? So let's go down. Okay, because what we need to know is where does electricity come from? This is what we need to know. Where did that electricity come from? Because we all experience it. You know, we all experience the electricity. I mean, if you walk on a new carpet with your socks, and I mean, as a kid, we got the biggest kick out of that, right? I mean, man, come on, man. That's what I'm talking about. You know, even your clothes right now, when you wash them in a dryer and they going around and around and around, guess what they start developing? Static electricity, because they were tumbling in a circular motion. So Isaiah 30 and verse 26.
Verse 26 reads, moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold, as the light of 7 days. In the day that the Lord bindeth up the breach of his people and healeth the stroke of their wound.
We can read this in Revelation chapter 9, that he said the earth is going to heat up 7 times. This is that day, right? So this is coming. Well, we already see it coming because we're talking about climate control right now. So we already see that the end is already present. Continue.
Verse 27 reads, behold, the name of the Lord cometh from far, burning with his anger, and the burden thereof is heavy. His lips are full of indignation, and his tongue as a devouring fire.
This is that thing that he said, the sword of his lip. This is Jesus. That's what we just got to read it in Matthew 24. He's coming back like this. He's not coming back in a fairy tale imagination, like that statue over Brazil. No, wipe that out your head. He's coming back like this. We aren't ready for this. Because remember now, He's going to put the sun and the moon out. The sun and the moon is not going to get any light in that day. The only thing we're going to see is this. Yeah, wrap your mind around that. That's what we're going to see. If the sun and the moon is out, and he said the Lord cometh from far, burning with his anger, that's why he said the whole earth is going to mourn, because most of the earth is going to be in their sin. You know, God forbid that we should be even in ours, but, I mean, that even applied to those that were there, right? Continue.
Verse 28 reads, and his breath as an overflowing stream shall reach to the midst of the neck to sift the nations with the sieve of vanity. And there shall be a bridle in the jaws of the people, causing them to err. You shall have a song as in the night when a holy solemnity is kept, and gladness of heart as when one goeth with a pipe to come into the mountain of the Lord to the mighty one of Israel.
Now this is that thing. Lord, now we got right here that he said there's going to be a song that in a solemnity. What do you mean? Because the word of God tells us that it's going to be in a year jubilee and the trumpet is going to sound on the atonement. And that's the day that those that believe in God are supposed to be fasting and praying. This is that thing. So, yeah, it's going to be solemn. It's going to be a solemn, a holy solemnity is kept, the atonement. Everybody's going to be still. Verse 30.
30 reads, and the Lord shall cause his glorious voice to be heard and shall show the lighting down of his arm with the indignation of his anger and with the flame of a devouring fire with scattering and tempest and hailstones.
See, for, he said the Lord shall cause his glorious voice to be heard showing lightning down his arm. So that's where you get your electricity from that created the universe. Or the cosmos. That's where you get that from. Remember now, he said, the circuit of heaven. Let me read this again. It says this. To cause a path followed or the capacity of being followed by an electric current. A configuration of electricality or electromagnetically connected components or device. That's gravity, people. So heaven, gravity, I should say, was created before heaven because heaven is rotating as well. Go to Job chapter 22, Job chapter 22, and Job chapter 22 and 11.
Job 22:11 reads, or darkness that thou canst not see, and abundance of waters cover thee.
See that?
It's not.
It's a darkness that we can't even see. I mean, you know, we create light, people. We create light. We create candles. We create flashlights. We create light bulbs. We create headlamps for the cars. But we can't create darkness. We surely can't create a darkness that nobody can see. I don't know what darkness that is, but I got a feeling it's called the outer darkness. This is that thing. Continue.
Verse 12 reads, is not God in the height of heaven? And behold, the height of the stars, how high they are. And thou sayest, how does God know? Can he judge through the dark cloud? Thick clouds are a covering to him that he seeth not, and he walketh in the circuit of heaven.
There it is. So he got this water barrier that surrounds the cosmos that we can't see him. You know, we can't see heaven. It's, you know, he said, he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. So we can't see heaven. So it's not for us to see it, you know, because it's not for us to even be there. That's not even a law, you know, that we're supposed to be in heaven, right? So he said, and thick clouds are coverings to him that he seeth not, and he walketh on the circuits of heaven. So that lets me know, once again, heaven is doing what? Going in circles. Let's read some more about this. It says, a complete route or course, especially that is curved or circular, or that lies around an object, which is the cosmos. Heaven is around the cosmos. Once again, let's wrap our mind around the fact that heaven's expansion is billions of light years from here, which is the earth, right? Let's say 4.5 billion years, 4.5 billion light years. We don't have a Star Trek, Captain Kirk, Star Trek, Picard, Star Trek, Janeway, and Star Trek, Discovery. They trying to say they got the power because they saying they can jump through time. You know, their ship is actually jumping through time. So they actually saying that they can do this, you know, that it's going to come a time that they're going to create something that will be able to jump time. I don't think it's enough time on the planet for them to even come to that. Either God will be here first, or we're going to destroy the planet before then. One of the two, but we'll never be able to create an instrument that will allow us to go from one time dimension to another. Even though we got conscious, we're conscious of it. What do you mean? Well, we call it, when light can pass through an object. What is that called? Oh, it's gone for me. It'll come back. But we see here, he said he walketh in the circuit of heaven. So heaven is in a circle. That's why our solar system is moving in a circle. That's why when you get a haircut, there's a vortex in the back of your head that goes into a circle. Everybody got one. Everybody on the planet Earth got that vortex that starts in the back of their head that goes into a circle that expands their cranium, which is a witness that we are moving in a circle. Also, the same vortex that's inside of our head is the wind flow of the planet. Also, the same vortex that's in our head is the flow of the ocean that surrounds the planet. I mean, I love this kind of stuff. I love the idea that we even got instruments that can tell us that these things are true. You know, it's just that when we start using instruments to say things like, well, the sun is cooling down. Really? Yeah, in 1.5 billion years, the sun is going to cool down. Oh, okay, well, I guess we'll never be able to call you a lie. Seriously. But this is that thing. This is what we've been told. So here it is. Let me look at this a little further. It says, a periodical journey around an area, or made by judges, etc. salesmen, etc., a route traversed and place visited on such a journey. A person making such a journey. Well, we just got to read it that this is what God do. He said, thick clouds are covering to him that he seeth not man, and he walketh in the circuit of heaven. That's his journey. He walketh on the circuit of heaven, around the cosmos. This is that thing. It says here, the act or instance of going or moving around, a circular journey round, roundabout journey or course. So the heavens is a circle. That's why all the planets look like marbles. People say that, you know, think about it, bro. People say that this is all a goof, but all the planets is in a circle. How is that a goof? How come some of them ain't shaped like stars or shaped like a banana? Right?
Right.
Exactly. Why each and every cosmos look like a marble? Then you have the things that we know today as let's see. Go to Job chapter 9 and verse 9.
Job.
In fact, let's pick it up a little higher. Let's pick it up in verse 1.
Okay. Job 9 and 1 reads, then Job answered and said, I know it is so of a truth, but how should man be just with God? If he
That's
will contend with him.
Because a man isn't just with God because he's full of sin. You know, we sin every day, man and woman.
Right.
You know, we sin every day. We're alive before we even open our mouths. Right. What do you mean?
Right.
Because you got to think of the lie before you open your mouth to say it.
Mm.
That takes imagination. Okay, where did that come from? I guess that's a goof, too, to have the thought of an imagination. Well, I guess that's an accident because a dog can dream. I mean, I said watch my dog run in his sleep. He's dreaming. I guess that's a goof. Man want to blame God for everything on the planet, bro. But we don't want to give back free will. That's freedom of choice, right? Freedom of choice.
Right.
We don't want to give back freedom of choice, but we want to blame God for everything that's going on in the world. That is to say, everything that man is creating or doing in his monstrosities, blaming God for the actions of man when it's actually man that's sinning against man. That's why he said, love your neighbor. But man is contrary to the commandment or law. Now we want to blame God for man not loving each other or our children or our spouses. Skip down to verse 9 and continue.
Verse 9 reads, which maketh Arcturus, Orion, and Pleiades, and the chambers of the south.
Wait a minute. He made Arcturus, Orion, and Pleiades? Well,
yes.
Pleiades is a cluster of stars that's just flying through the cosmos, right? Unstoppable. Orion is a cluster of stars that's pulled together by gravity, that's beyond, that would turn us into particles if we was ever to come in contact with this gravity that's around this particular solar system. This is that thing. Go to Job chapter 38, now in fact, read verse 10.
Verse 10 reads, which doeth great things past finding out, yea, and wonders without number.
See, this is the thing, man. You know, he do a lot of things that even though he's given us the opportunity to glance at or peek into some of the things that he's doing. This is why we, you know, here at the Sound of the Waters, we take our time going through what we call the creation because there's so much there that we can actually discover. Go in and now let's go to Job chapter 38. Job chapter 38. And pick it up at verse 1 because I think God asks us this question all the time. Or I think he should ask us this at least once in our lifetime so we can get shook up, right? 38:1. You'll see the read.
Job 38:1 reads, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge?
Stop. So now we got this thing. He said he answered out of the whirlwind. Once again, here go that circular vortex. A whirlwind is a tornado. How come a tornado just ain't a blowing wind? Why I got to be circular? How come there's tornadoes on Saturn? How come the hurricanes got to be going in a circle? I'm still, right?
It's coming from heaven.
I would say because of the gravity that he created, all things exist. Even time. The entire cosmos is ran by a big gravitational pull that generate time. And our sun is inside of that. It's not the center of gravity. It's just a part of it. And the cosmos, or I would say our constellations dictate that we aren't in the same constellation that we were a million years ago because the Earth is actually moving. Or the Milky Way is moving as well through the cosmos in a circular pattern. But, you know, man is so, you know, well, if this happening, how come we're not flying off the Earth? Gravity, dude. That's why you got that fast wheel concept. Without the fast wheel, we all fall, right?
Right.
So even when the flow let down, we will fall. But because gravity got us, we don't fall the planet because of the rotation. Who is this? He said, now, we need God to just pull up and say, hey, man, who told you that the Earth is going to go out in 1.5 billion years? That would be really cool that he did that every now and again. And then he said, who is this that darkeneth counsel without knowledge? Now, you're going to tell me the sun that I created that I'm going to bind Satan and the wicked in day and night forever and ever is actually going to cool off and let Satan and the wicked out. No, that's not going to happen. The sun is forever. And so is the moon, because it's a part of time, and it has been placed in eternity. It'll never stop shining. It'll never stop living. Continue.
Verse 3 reads, gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me, where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who have laid the measures of thereof, if thou knowest?
Bruh.
Or who have stretched the line upon it?
Where was we at when he created the earth? We're going to say that the earth you know, it's heating up. But then we want to say the sun is cooling down. Seriously? Which one is it? Continue.
Verse 6. Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy, or who shut up the sea with doors? When it break forth, as if it had issued out of the wound? When I made the cloud the garment thereof, and thick darkness a swaddling band for it, and break up for it my decreed place, and set bars and doors, and said,
Wait, I don't want you to read all of this, man. I think y'all should read this for yourself. Skip down to verse 31.
Yes, sir. All right. Verse 31 reads, "Canst thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades or loose the bands of Orion?"
Well, wait a minute, man. When this book was written, we didn't have an idea of the gravitational pull of Orion. We didn't know that the gravitational pull of Orion is a trillion times that of the sun, the Earth. And we didn't know that Pleiades was not bound by gravity, but it was free-flowing atmosphere. But it's also in a controlled environment. That is to say, it's a free-flowing star solar system that's not bound by gravity, but also in a controlled environment. That's not God. Read down to the 33.
Canst thou bring forth Maseroth in his season, or canst thou guide Arcturus with his sons? Knowest thou the ordinance of heaven? Canst thou set the dominion thereof in the earth?
See, that's the whole thing. So he said, you know the ordinances of heaven? No, I really don't. I'm only able to point out certain things. I don't know the ordinance of them. I don't think I have enough life to even figure something out like that. You know, it's just no. That's a no. You see? So what is this thing that we're talking about? What is this? Let's go into Revelation chapter 12, right? Let's go to chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6 and pick it up at verse 12.
Revelation 6 and 12 reads, "And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heavens."
This is the thing. So the sun and the moon is going to be black. So we haven't experienced that kind of darkness before because we never existed without the sun. But there's going to come a time that in the planet, God willing, there, that we'll be able to see what darkness really looked like. Exactly. Read on.
Verse 13. "And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places.
Well, that's what's going to happen. The heavens are going to roll back. That's when we're going to see Jesus, right? Because remember now, we just got to read in Isaiah that he is going to be on fire. He's going to have electricity flying, lightning flying out of his hand. He's going to be, like, doing it big, right? And the only thing we're going to see is him. That's why he's going to shut it down, and the only thing we're going to see is him. And then the whole earth is going to start crying to God, man, because he's the truth. We've been playing church. We've been playing scientists. Now it's time for the truth to prevail. Continue.
Verse 15. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?
So now man see this. Now man is running. This is why we got places like Nurak, you know, like silos for the kings of the earth to run to and hide themselves in. That's mountains, right? Russia got one. All the kings of the earth got mountains to hide themselves. That's why when Joshua was going forth and he took down Jericho, and these kings hid themselves in a mountain, and he sealed the mountain up, right, so they don't get away. He's seven kings. And I guess that represents the seven continents of the planet. You know, we can give him a take on that. But he said, now remove the stones and brought them out, and then he killed them because he took over their kingdom. The same thing when Joshua come back, as we know it, Jesus. When he come back, he's going to do the exact same thing, because that's who Joshua was actually living through.
Amen.
Right. Let's go on to Peter. Right.
Let's see.
Peter. Let's see if I want to go to 2 Peter. Let's see.
First,
let's see if I can find. I'm thinking First Peter two. Maybe. Let's see. No, it's 2 Peter chapter 3. And verse 3. And this would be the last verse.
Second Peter 3:3 reads, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust.
Continue.
And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this, they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water.
There it is. There we are. We're talking about that firmament again. We're talking about that water barrier that it's covered with. Continue.
Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly man.
But wait a minute. The heavens says The heavens and the earth which are now the same are kept in store, reserved unto the fire against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. Well, we just read that in Revelation chapter 6 and 12, that the heavens are going to roll back like a scroll. Continue.
Verse 8. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat?
Nevertheless, the heavens are what? When the heavens roll back as the scroll, we're going to find out that the third heaven is what?
On fire.
It's on fire. It's on fire. So now, we're going to find out, well, God willing, we live, and we can be back here next Saturday to pick up the rest of this, part three of heaven, you know, that it's actually on fire, you know, and that when he come back, man is going to see it. He's going to roll back the heavens like a scroll, and we're going to see that the heaven is on fire. Remember now, he said that day the earth is going to be heated up 7 times more. That's not a goof. You see, this is that thing. So, with that being said, Brother Hutchinson, you got any questions or comments you'd like to add to this?
Yes. Well, I want to say great job on the lesson, Brother Joe, you know, that the Lord watered you with the knowledge of showing us about the creations that he made. I think that was a very good thing. I was wondering if what the light that you were talking about, I think it kind of refracts through like glasses. That it might be ultraviolet. I think ultraviolet rays. But yeah, I just want to say grace and peace unto the family. Welcome. Out to listen to the sounds of living waters in the Commonwealth of Israel. You're all welcome. We're here on the Solemn Assembly today to get the good word. So, you know, I thank God for this day and that we're all a part of it to keep it holy. Great job as always, Brother Joe, and much love to the family. And with that, I close.
Amen. And once again, we want to make mention, we want to thank all of you that's listening, to our listeners in Russia, Estonia, Latvia, Romania, Greece, Azerbaijan, Iran, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Kenya, the Philippines, Indonesia, New Zealand, Nigeria, Brazil, Chile, and Canada, and of course, our brothers in the United Kingdom, and also in America or the States. We want to thank all of you for listening and participating. Also, if you'd like to donate to the Sounds of Living Waters, you can do so through PayPal. That is the Sounds of Living Waters, blogtalkradioshow.com. You can also donate there and show your appreciation for this message. So with that being said, we want to thank everybody for their time. And we hope we edify someone. As we say here, at the Sounds of Living Water.
Read
your Bible. Read your Bibles. Amen. Amen. Great job.
Thank you, brother. You as well.
Praise be the Lord.
Amen. All praise the Most High God.
Happy Saturday for a good radio show. Hey, happy Saturday.
From Genesis to Revelation, preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth? It will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.